Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Hi, I'm talking with Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, and we're talking about her new book on vaccine use, and more so I'm picking her brain about this because she's from the medical profession. You don't often get somebody bold enough to come out with a lot of this information. I'm curious about the safety now of vaccines. We've heard there's mercury, formaldehydes, live viruses, animal parts, fetal parts, all kinds of interesting things in these vaccines. Now, the safety of it is what I think really pushed a button in your practice regarding vaccination. Can you comment on these additives to the vaccines and where they go in the body? What does the body do to it? We have a young child, and take it from there, please.
Okay, sure. You know, there are so many different components in vaccines, and when you add them all together, we really don't know what happens. We really don't have long-term safety studies on any one vaccine or on the entire vaccine schedule. We have no totally vaccinated children versus fully vaccinated children looking at cancer rates, autoimmune diseases, asthma, et cetera. But we do have a few studies, you know, looking at asthma rates in certain vaccines that have been given or not given, or if they've been delayed in childhood, and we find that there indeed are more allergies and asthma in children who have had their DTP vaccines delayed, for instance. So that's one thing that we know for certain, and that's pretty well established in both the old and fairly new medical literature as well. I also did a video called Aluminum is Toxic to All Life Forms that I recommend. If people want to know more, just please go to the YouTube, put in my name, Aluminum is Toxic to All Life Forms, and you'll get, it's about 20 to 30 minutes long, on what really the science is, that what real scientists who study aluminum for a living in academia, what is really known about the toxic effects of aluminum and where it goes in the body, versus the propaganda that we're told, which there's absolutely no science underlying. So aluminum has no biological purpose in the body. It serves nothing good. It is nothing but toxic when put into the body. When we eat it, which is the excuse the vaccinologist will tell you why it's safe, it's very different than when it's injected. When you eat it, it's in its silicated form. It's fairly benign. About 0.3% is absorbed, and we can handle that. But when we inject it, it's a whole different story because it's 100% absorbed, obviously, because it's injected. And the studies that they've done on little babies who've gotten 1,200 micrograms, which is a huge dose, but that's how much goes into a baby at 2 months of age, they find it, it doesn't come out in the urine in 24 hours. It doesn't show up in the blood in 24 hours. And so where does it go? And well, I emailed the lead author of the study, MOVSAS, MOVSIS, and asked her this, and she said, well, we really don't know enough about it. More research is needed. But what other studies have shown, like KHAN, I believe it was 2013, showed that there are transporters that shuttle aluminum across the brain, and that it does go across the brain, especially if it's given in high doses, and that there are other researchers like Kawahara, K-A-W-A-H-A-R-A, who has shown that aluminum is just an absolute disaster to so many different metabolic processes, to the cell membranes, to enzymes, to the brain. And this is just so well established. I mean, he's got like over 100 medical references to support everything that he says. And these are people that study aluminum full time. So we're always told that it leaves the body very rapidly, but it's been shown in many different physiologic studies that that is not the case at all. And we know for certain that aluminum underlies a lot of diseases. It underlies allergies. One of the reasons it's put in the vaccines is because it provokes an inflammatory response. If you were injected with a vaccine that didn't have aluminum, you would have barely any immunological response to it, and it wouldn't last very long, any response that you did have. So we know that it's actually an antigen in and of itself, and that it can basically provoke a reaction just by itself, and that it adds to the spark that's created by the vaccine basically turns into a bit of a bonfire immunologically. And that's intentional on the part of the vaccine designers. And it's in most of the childhood vaccines. The only kinds of vaccines it's not in are the live viral vaccines. that's just a short bit on aluminum. You mentioned mercury, and we're told over and over again that, A, mercury doesn't cause any problem in children's brains. It's been shown over and over again. Well, if you really look deeply at the studies, they're fatally flawed studies, which I don't have time to get into. But what we do know is that mercury is a neurotoxin, obviously. We do know that it's still in the pediatric influenza vaccines in multi-dose vials and the adult vaccines in multi-dose vials, and it's actually twice as high of a dose. So every year your children are told that they need to get 12.5 micrograms of mercury injected into them in a flu shot. The science behind the flu shots has been completely, as far as I'm concerned, shown to not underlie and underpin the hype that we hear on the news. The Cochrane Collaborative Database, which is an independent research organization, has been extremely upset. Dr. Thomas Jefferson has basically come out and said that there's just very shabby science on these flu shots. We know that they don't provide the same kind of immunity that you get naturally, and there are all kinds of problems with the pseudoscience that the public is fed over those flu shots, and as you said, they have mercury formaldehyde cause extreme inflammation. People get very sick from them. I witnessed people developing kidney failure from them. Now, does that happen very often? No. I think it's a pretty low incidence event for someone to have full-blown kidney failure, but if you're predisposed and your kidneys are, you know, kind of sitting on the fence, it could be one thing that could really cause problems. There's lots of medical literature talking about the autoimmune diseases that occur, some very terrible inflammatory kidney diseases that have occurred after these vaccines. And if they were necessary and if they were really saving lives en masse, of course, you know, we would have to weigh that risk, that potential risk. But that's just certainly not the case when it comes to flu shots.
That's the flu one. You know, the study of autism with Dr. Wakefield was, I think, conveniently poo-pooed, or, you know, they said he reneged on his stand, but they forgot to tell him about that because I've been following up on him, and he continues to hold his opinion that there is a connection to, say, autism. Can you comment on that, please?
Yes, well, Dr. Wakefield published a series of case reports where he investigated autistic children who had what's called nodular enterocolitis and brain dysfunction. And he noted that there was a correlation between the problems in the bowel and in the brain, and that there was measles virus in those nodules. Well, everyone, you know, the mainstream media just goes with the sound bites that Dr. Wakefield was a fraud and blah, blah, blah. Everybody's already heard it. But if you ever actually listen to Dr. Wakefield, I think that anyone would be hard-pressed to walk away thinking that he's some sort of a shyster that did some fraudulent, terrible thing. And then if you look at all the scientists who have actually repeated what he did worldwide and shown, like Dr. Stephen Walker in 2006, basically showed even more than what Dr. Wakefield showed. He showed that it was vaccine-strain measles in those bowel lesions of autistic children. And if you look at what Dr. Allman in 2002 showed, that vaccinated autistic children, they also had measles virus in bowel biopsies. But I think one of the most compelling science has come from a doctor named Dr. Singh, S-I-N-G-H, in 2009 and around there. He's published several different studies. One of them has a PMID 19758536. And what he showed was that he drew blood in normal children and autistic children, and he looked at the level of antibodies against MMR vaccines and against different proteins of the measles virus and against different proteins in the brain. And what he found unequivocally were enormously high rates of autoantibodies against myelin in the brain, which is basically the conductive substance on the outside of neurons, against the caudate nucleus, which is a really important part of the brain, against the cerebrum and the cerebellum, that was off the charts in these autistic kids. And when he compared it to normal children, they didn't have them. So he showed that not only did they have a correlation between an anti-MMR antibody, but also these anti-brain proteins that normal children didn't have. And he was quite alarmed by this, and he was not an anti-vaccine doctor. And he went to Congress, and he said, look, you know, there are a lot of kids that are suffering. I believe in vaccines, but I believe that we should try to design a vaccine or even a treatment protocol and try to figure out what's going on here that people can get vaccinated and not end up with this problem. And unfortunately, I have this problem with lack of funding, and I've been unable to extend my research, so please help me. And Congress basically funded some studies, but they were all the, what I mentioned, as fatally flawed studies that were done between our Centers for Disease Control and some Danish studies that are always tossed at us to show that there's no relationship between any vaccine or MMR vaccine and autism. But, you know, the research that I've done and the medical literature that I've done and the parents that I've spoken to, I really don't think that we can any longer deny the correlation between any vaccine and tipping a child over into brain damage. And the MMR vaccine seems to be especially problematic in a certain subset of children. So not only do we have that problem, but currently we have a problem of several whistleblowers who have said that the MMR vaccine has great problems in and of itself because of how it's been tested, and that the studies that the CDC have done have basically cooked the books and altered data.
Right. Dr. Humphreys, I'm going to have to cut this short. I would love to talk to you all day. You're a wealth of information. Where could people get listeners to find more information on your research and where you're at with this? It'll give them another place to do their own homework. Can you give us that, please?
Sure. Well, the book website is dissolvingillusions.com, and that you can read the author's forewords, you can read Jane Donegan's foreword, and you can look at all of the graphs, 50-color graphs that show the decline in mortality was significantly down by the time the vaccines were invented. You can go to drsuzanne.net, drsuzanne.net. And those are the two websites that I work off of, and I continue to do lots of videos. I have a YouTube video called Honesty versus Policy that is basically my medical autobiography that also talks about other whistleblowers in history and what the major problems with not just the MMR vaccine but other vaccines is scientifically.
Right. Suzanne, thank you so much. I have so much respect for what you're doing there, and I'm sure others do. And I would just like to give a big thanks for the guests and our producers, Reg, Fair, and Alan Wishart, and program directors across the country for carrying the show. And, of course, thank you for listening, and just have a great, healthy week.